Dr. Brass Stocks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, my man?
Not too bad.
Yeah. I heard you with the one about the Trinidad and Tobago election, but I would not be surprised if my man get a one turn.
Who's it?
The Prime Minister of Trinidad, Rowling, I don't think he's a good Prime Minister, actually. I think he's very...
You don't think he's a good Prime Minister?
I don't. He's not in my books. I will not be surprised at all if he really get a one turn. On the aspect of the government doing well over the past 2 years, by November or so, it should be about 2.5 years. They've done an excellent job thus far, man. Mm. Excellent. Mm. And it's a long way to go for the next election. But I don't really see a challenge. I feel like election call anytime. You'll probably get a set results. You'll probably get a third love because they're not seeing anything from the opposition members. Because all the opposition members in Barbados are doing are dealing with context. This should be done this way, it should be done the other way, and that type of thing. As opposed to coming up with anything concrete to move the country forward. And you got to also look at what happened to Barbados over the last 2 years. Now, the Prime Minister took the Barbados and turned it upside down, right? Well on its way, and then entered COVID-19. I mean, something unprecedented in the history of mankind. And she's still battling, and the country is still battling, and the government is still battling with that. And still doing well, basically, in all fronts. So you had to come in with the government on its backside, correct that, get it, as she said, moving from the mass camp, you're going up, climb up the mountain, and here into COVID. And you had to deal with this here again. So there are a lot of achievements, even some that you missed, actually. Got about over 30, some significant ones, like even the integrity bill legislation that is being passed in the parliament today. And today, that's another one. The one that was very controversial, the one on the subcourse switch debacle. That as well. Then you had the appointment of 10 new judges to probably impact that would impact on the backlog, the court cases backlog. So I mean, you go on and on and on and on. When this government came in, the office, you had $410 billion, and now you're looking at about $2 billion as we speak. That will service good in the sea as a buffer for the same COVID-19. So, I mean, the list go on and on and on and on. So, nobody in their rightful mind could be critical of this situation in 2 years hence. Significant. So, I just came in on the cheers on that,
No, I'm glad you did, and certainly you're prompting my mind in relation to a number of issues. I mean, frankly, I forgot about the issue of sewage. And it's interesting that, 2 years on, that's a distant memory. And I remember during the election, that was the thing that was bothering people more. So you were going through human feces on the subcourse. But, I mean, when you say that now, it sounds like it's almost a distant memory regarding the issues that we were facing. So, there are a lot of other things. It's just that those were the big ticket items that I thought it was important to mention. But, issues like the appointment of judges is significant. We're now going to have an appointment of a chief justice. The appointment of judges, though, it was interesting that was the first one that was done based on a new system applied
committee.
And there was a committee and so on, as opposed to appointment exclusively by the Prime Minister. I'm anxious to see whether the appointment of the chief justice, though, what tone that will take, whether that will be done based on the new system or whether that will just be done based on the old system of appointment, the way that it was done before, the traditional system. I'm also anxious to see who it will be, quite frankly. I'm curious.
They got good candidates there, though.
They have a lot of good candidates, yeah. they have a lot of good candidates. And I agree with one of the writers to the Nation that recently said that there's really no need for us to feel constrained to go the role of gender. It doesn't have to be a woman. I mean, it could be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a woman, because there's no question that women are very well represented now in terms of government in Barbados, in terms of all the branches of government, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary. So we don't have to worry about remedying those imbalances. Right. My concern, like yours, though, relates to the Democratic Labour Party and the extent to which the Democratic Labour Party is really ready and has made as good use of the time as the Barbados Labour Party has. Like you, I am concerned about the fact that 2 years on, I don't know that the DLP has actually declared any candidates. And, you know, certainly President Bernie DePisa has been very active in social media and active in the media generally, telling us what the Democratic Labour Party, what the Barbados Labour Party needs to do. But I haven't really heard a lot from her regarding what the Democratic Labour Party is doing.
Exactly.
There were plans in the beginning of this year, I was told, that after the celebration of Barrow's 100th birthday, I believe it would have been, a set of blistering plans that would have taken them down to the stage of readiness by now. Nothing like that has happened. And I appreciate that they've been derailed by COVID. But we haven't heard of one single candidate that has been declared. And it makes you wonder if we're going to get to the halfway mark and there will be no such declarations that will be made.
But the more important issue I have with them, not only them, well, I don't really necessarily consider the Alleghenies Party and these rest of the guys. There's a whole lot of making U-turns. Now I could point to you when Miss Motley came in as the opposition leader in 2008. There were several things that she said, even in the first budget in 2008 that Mr. Thompson brought. She pointed out areas that where the government fell down, and she predicted that actually came to pass. The whole they were over projecting, under projecting regarding the budget, and how she said, if you don't do this thing, the economy is going to you're going to end up with junk bond status. I mean, the list go on and on and on. Now, you can see clearly here, all of the people are saying, oh, my, where are your solutions? Even now, as the Prime Minister. You see, she was able to get things just roll off. Boss, poor Graham. And I mean, even the one with the, where the people come and visit Barbados for a year. I can't remember exactly what you call that. Where you could spend a year at work from a Barbados. You know, So it's just coming off. The woman, the Prime Minister has a background, a leadership, an ability and skills and know-how. When she was in opposition, she did the same thing. They were even looking at what she was saying. This opposition or the opposition party in Barbados said, oh, you should have done this thing. You should have done the next thing. As opposed to getting concrete examples of what should be done, you know, they're just dealing with context. You know, there's a thousand ways to deal with anything. That's not the issue. Let's hear a concrete example of what should be done. So you know, these guys aren't really ready, man. Yeah, nice to hear you.
All right, sir. Good chatting with you, and hopefully we can chat again in the not too distant future, since I'll be around from time to time. All right, good talking to you. We take another call. Good afternoon, and welcome to Dr. Brass Sacks.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, Miss P, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I didn't know I'd get on so quickly, but thank you, John.
How's the neighborhood?
Pardon?
I said, how are you taking care of the neighborhood for me?
Oh, I'm not really going out. You know me, Peter. I'm not going out too much, but they stole my mailbox, which really has me angry. They came inside the gate and took it off. You know, anyways, it's cool because I'll get one made out of pipe or whatever.
No, leave that alone. Miss P, I've always expressed concern about the fact that in that neighborhood they seem to steal things like mailboxes, garbage cans, hoses, shoes off the front. You know, I had shoes out there once and they were stolen. I believe the problem is really vagrancy. And we've also been having a challenge with an individual walking up and down, going into the garbage and taking out to try and see if you could find bottles and so on and throwing them across the place. That to me is the concern. I mean, why somebody in the right mind would steal a garbage can, you know? I mean, a mailbox.
Yeah, well, to sell it, to resell it, and someone, one of the post people told me that it was too for the metal. I don't understand that one. But anyways, okay. It was there for, like, you know how many years I've had a mailbox.
Yeah, I remember that.
But anyways, that's beside the point. I'm happy that you made it to France, and I hope you and your partner are doing very well. And he was happy to see you, and he spoiled you with all the delicacies that France has to offer, especially their French pastry. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, yeah. I live above a patisserie, which is a challenge sometimes.
Oh, well, for me too, but we're slim. We're slim and trim, so we could eat as much of it as we want.
Yeah.
Anyways, Peter, I just want to say hello to my brothers in Jubilee Gardens, okay? They won't see me till Thursday, but that's beside the point. I'm calling really about the gentleman whose check got defaced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why BRA, when he went there with the check, didn't take the check from him. They have cash. We all know they've got cash down there. They could have made him sign a form with his two pieces of ID. And they know if they have the check and it's a legitimate check, take back the darn check. They can cancel it. Give him his darn cash and don't make a man wait so long for it. And they owe him for probably a long time this amount of money. How long has he been waiting since he took back that check? Was it three months?
He said 4 months. 4 months.
Oh no, that's ridiculous. See, these are the things that I am against. This is what I call systemic colonialism. If it ain't racism, it's colonial. We have to get past that, you know. And I hope the prime minister or somebody in her office is listening. That man needs his check by the end of next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has me infuriated. This is not right, and it's very simple to do. I worked in accounting. I've made mistakes when I was writing out a check, a payroll check. Person came back to me. Sometimes it'd only be $5-7. I go, sorry, you know, I'm going to cancel this check, and here's a new check. If I didn't do that and the banks were closed, I'd take it out of petty cash. They signed for it. But everything was signed for and documented. But it's so simple for them to do that. Yeah. They could have corrected that problem right then and there. Anyways, Peter, enjoy your stay.
Okay.
Tell me what good food you're eating the next time I talk to you.
All right, will do. You know, the one thing I want to say about that, Ms. P, though, is that I feel it has a lot to do with who he would have encountered in the bank. Depending on who he went to in the bank on the day in question, it's possible that they would have tried to negotiate the damage check for him. But then there are some other bank tellers that would probably say, look, this is something that cannot happen. And I agree with you that the fact that a check is damaged, as long as you're able to demonstrate the authenticity of it, you know for whom the money is intended. There are some bank staff that may be able to help you negotiate it without going through all of that trouble. But I find that in these times, because everybody is so absolutely concerned about fraud and being caught with fraud and things of that nature, that people are less inclined to take a chance and say, well, let me see if I can help someone. And as a result, you put a man through this process, which is really unfair. And unconscionable, quite frankly, in these times. Because, I mean, $300 in these times will go a very, very long way to alleviate someone's distress. We'll see. Okay? Donna Brastax, we are on 434-1790. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. Yourself?
Hey, good, man. Hey, good, man. I get to learn that thing because I hear a little beep in your phone. Yeah. So how are you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah, this is Fishgate, boss.
Okay, good to hear you. How's business?
Business up and down, you know, but I can't complain. Whatever little bit I get, you know, it's better than nothing at all. You know what I mean? If you stay home and get nothing, I'll come out and make something. If it makes $5, you make something, right?
All right. Any diversity in the menu yet? Or the menu is the same?
I got something coming. I'm working with Chef Greg Davis or something. Don't worry, I got something coming.
Okay, all right, good.
But you're all the way in France, man. And we can't mail in all the Barbados. I get on the side of the head. If we can't mail in all the Barbados, I was like, what? So So, but anyhow, if you last, the last conversation we had, right, we had to cut it real, real short, right? But it's something of real concern, right? You see that when we were talking about shipping things, sorry, about Barbados being a registered wholesaler that we could sell things online. Where is that? The, you know, like the guys who make craft and the artists and stuff like that. You know, we could sell our things on eBay and Amazon.com and all those kind of places. You know, we could create our own websites and sell things, but we can't do that from here in Barbados. Actually, it could, but you got like you have to have an overseas account. Everything had to be done overseas, right? But if we could be, like for example, the artist. I can use the artist, right? I went up at the Animal Flower Cave the other day because it was my 5th wedding anniversary, right? So my wife and I decided that we ain't going to have lunch up at the Animal Flower Cave. So we got a lot of fellas that sell handmade jewelry, all kind of stuff. And, you know, the inner tourist in. There is nothing in, you know what I mean? Everybody just trying to hustle off of one another, which is still a good thing, right? But everybody will got the opportunity to bring foreign exchange into the country. If some of these artists and some craftsmen could sell the things online, you know how people will buy, like for example, my wife got a spoon for me made out of mahogany. You know how many people would pay for that overseas? Right? But you know, the craftsman got to sit down, depend on how many airplanes come in and how many boats come in, and that's all thing in here, right? And then, you know, they didn't really get much help from anybody. So therefore, things are extremely hard, right?
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you that those kinds of facilities make a lot of sense. You can advertise online. There are facilities, though, that you can use as a small business person. So, for example, PayPal. You can set up a PayPal account fairly easily, and you can send and receive money using PayPal. There's some people who sell, problem. For example. Sorry?
Selling things and receiving money through PayPal. My club president was telling me that he ran into a problem with that. My wife was explaining to me the reason why I can't get explained, because you know me, I twisted with that sort of thing.
But just recently, I negotiated a deal for a gentleman who wanted a cake. He was living in Switzerland, and he wanted a cake sent to somebody locally. And I found a local baker who was able to receive the money through PayPal. And it seemed to work well. I mean, he got some business, and you know, the person either of them were in Barbados. He doesn't have a credit card account, like, you know, to pay into the credit card and so on. So it does seem to have kinks in it, but I believe it seems to work for some. But then there are other systems that people have where they're set up through like a third party. So for example, I don't believe Facebook does it, but there are some other third party selling facilities that will take a commission. They will sell something for you and they will pass on payment. But then again, you also still have to have a PayPal to receive it. Exactly. And that's normally how it would be done. So those are facilities.
That works through a credit card, right?
Yeah.
I don't really know much about PayPal. My wife uses it all the time. She's the person who handles the finances you see in the family. So I know she told me it connected to a credit card. And a lot of people don't have credit cards. They don't. Mm-hmm. Right, and there's another way too. Like, you see, like when you sell things online, there's another way for the government to at least make a little money off for the people too. You know, they can tax it. You know, ain't like we doing it. For, you know, ain't like it will be done for free. You know, they can tax it. But being at the Animal Flower Cave too, it also hit me over my head with a little brick to us all way, because when I sit down, they thought about, you know, I heard people had calling on the talking program, you know, on the calling program, and they were saying about the captains and the staff and the people who work on the ships, you know, they come off the boats and they get to go down to the boatyard, and then there was a big fight about where to get to go and stuff like that, right? But when I was at my Animal Flower Cave, I felt so safe. I mean, the food was good. Social distancing was in place. Everybody had on masks. The staff was really good. Everything was... So I was like, so why nobody at all about bringing some of these people up at the Animal Flower Cave? You know what I mean? And that is one of the more independent Bajan-run places in Barbados, right? And I think that people should go out there and see it for themselves and experience it. But anyway, Peter,
how much did they pay you for this advertisement, though?
No, I just talk about my experience. I got married there, right? I got married there.
Whoa, and but that's nice. Inside the cave or on top of the cave?
Pardon?
You went down inside the cave to be married, or you got married on top of the cave?
No, we got married on top of the cave. We got married on top of the cave.
You know, people have gotten married downstairs. Insane.
Yeah, they did. Some people did. But
it's a beautiful location, huh? Okay.
Yeah, homie. We had a motorcycle wedding, you know. We had over 100 motorcycles out there. It was crazy.
Well, okay.
You know, so
that must have been nice. I think it's one of the most beautiful locations in Barbados. But as I say, we're not supposed to advertise. So.
Yeah. And they don't need a whole lot more advertising.
Yeah, the first day that they left the curfew, I took my bike and I cycled to Animal Park. Yes, and just sat down and reflected on life.
Yeah. Nice idea. But anyways, nice hearing you, Peter.
All right, good to hear you. All right, thanks a lot for calling. We got a couple of WhatsApp messages of people saying that they're trying to reach us and they're not getting through. I am not sure what's happening, but essentially John is putting through calls as they come. And I'm not sure what's happening, but let's try and see if we can move along. But we've had quite a few breaks during the course of today when there were no calls, just so you know. So it isn't as though calls are backed up. But I don't know if we're having a glitch that has to be checked out with the technical crew, but we'll see. So let's take another call. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Yes, how are you doing, man? Yeah?
Good. How are you doing?
First time caller, you know?
Okay, welcome.
I'm going to make it short. I can make it short and sweet. I hear the sound saying that Barbadians are not following the protocols. Mm-hmm. That might be true. But 2.5 weeks to 2 weeks ago, I was hearing that Barbados was COVID-free. And in order for cases to come into Barbados, they would have to come to some port of entry, correct?
Correct, yes.
Where is the protocols there that would stop the people that are coming into Barbados from going into the community, from spreading it? If they're doing all this tests, I'm hearing that these false documents that is coming in. I want to decide to pay more interest in people that are coming into Barbados and bringing the COVID-19 into Barbados as opposed to the poor man and those people that got the worship thing in Barbados that you can put the pressure on him. When we were hearing from 2.5 weeks ago that Barbados was COVID-free. And I can bet you my last dollar that whenever that the situation away that somebody will lose a license or shut down anything, it can be one of the people. When everybody in Barbados is doing the same thing because everybody thought that COVID was not in Barbados. That's probably why everybody coming here anyhow. I would like emphasis to be placed more on the airport than people that come in, and then stop putting the blame on poor people in Barbados that has nothing to do with. But yes, we can follow all the protocols in the world, you know. But if you let any people and get it into the society in Barbados, you can't stop the COVID from coming in here. Nobody can tell me that we can stop COVID from coming in here if everything has not been built at the airports and or the harbor down the road. There's the emphasis there, put the people in quarantine, do what you're going to do to get people to come into Barbados and give us the infected rebuilders that we did everything that we were all shut down. And then you're going to come and tell me now that, you know what? It's our fault that we are not there to distance, we are not wearing masks, we are not doing all these kind of things. This is my government, but we got to call an ASAS and a spear. The spear can't blame us now that there's COVID coming back into Barbados. We were supposed to be COVID-free 2.5 weeks ago. You agree with me?
So I understand where you're coming from. You basically feel as though you follow the protocols.
Everybody,
some bougie people, listen, were at a party. As though you're getting grizzled as a result of that. That's it.
Exactly. Yes. Listen, I watch people that rent rooms in Barbados. They got a house that got 3 rooms. Everybody gonna use the same bathroom, the same storm, their face. And these people follow protocols, take the sun and sweat out in the rooms. And they took it for the two months or so that COVID was here. The other people in Barbados, because the elite was driving all around Barbados and going as a light. And these poor people in Barbados take it as we we did it together. Now we got a case or two coming back in. I am hearing that it's our fault. Randy Borders supposed to be taken care of. Who is responsible for letting the people in and all these protocols? Don't think Barbados, man, that you've got cases in Barbados,
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to insult our intelligence. Whatever done, a poor shop, a man at the door that's selling a war thing and get blamed because he's trying to make a living like anybody else. Because he was walking away from the body with a mask. That is supposed to be COVID 2.5 weeks ago. Come on, man. Deal with the situation at the airport first, man. And then talk to the second. I got my idea.
You go ahead. Yeah.
The second point, we had when this government first came into, and the reason why I vote for this government, I tell you this is my government, they have my barbers, they're fine supporter, but I call it ASPS, the spirit of spirit. And what the main reason why I voted for this government is because they said that they got the anti-corruption law that is going to come and implement, that where these politicians is going to show their assets before they get in and after. You hear anything more about that?
But the law was passed today, sir.
It was passed today?
Yeah.
Well, great. That's what it was, man. My government is working. Anyhow, thanks very much.
Yeah, but sir, let's be clear, though. The money is not going to be declared to you, you know.
It's not. Peter,
so
I go, man.
Don't feel like you can see the Prime Minister income tax return. No, that's not how it's gonna work. The idea is that the declaration will be made to a committee that will hold the information in confidence, so that the next time around when they file, if there is an appreciable change, then you see. That is a device that's used in some of the smaller societies where there are confidentiality issues, where you would appoint a committee and declarations would be made to that committee and they would be charged to hold that information in confidence. Trinidad and Tobago has used a similar system. And remember back in the day, Basil Pande was the first person was actually caught in that regard because he owned a property in London, I believe, that was worse. No, sorry, he had a bank account in London that had some change on it and he was not able to properly explain the proceeds of that money. We subsequently heard that it was a gift from C.L. Dupre, who said that he was concerned about his ability to finance his children's education. And Dupre said that he gave him that gift to assist with the education of his children. And it was lodged overseas in the name of his wife, who said that she forgot that she had this money on that bank account. I'm not sure what happened to that case, but it was an issue that came up some time ago. But I'm just making the point that this idea of a declaration to committee works well because the committee is always aware of what's going on. And if they see something untoward, then they can raise it. But we would want, not in the first instance, to have people knowing about all the assets and liabilities of all of our current politicians. The other thing that is a bit delicate in terms of that legislation is the if you're going to ask a politician to declare, then perhaps permanent secretaries should also declare because they are usually responsible for awarding contracts as well. They're politically exposed to some extent. Then you have judges who are also within the same capacity. And then we have statutory corporations, persons who are chairs and on statutory boards and so on. They should also be declaring. In Trinidad and Tobago, the declarations come from all of them. Even independent senators are forced to declare. But this is where it becomes a bit more delicate. So suffice to say, sir, movement has been made in that regard. Regarding the matter of the declaration of assets. The other matter that you raised is one I think is a fair concern that you feel that you're being targeted unfairly as far as these restrictions are concerned. I am not going to go as far as to say that, yes, you know, you open up the airport and COVID comes in, but I do feel that there has to be a fairness and balance brought to the fact that we should not be punished. We who live in Barbados should not be punished because of the fact that, you know, there are a few careless persons. And I get your concerns, sir. I feel your pain. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just two little questions I want to ask. If you permit me to. The question of The question of the foreign reserve. How much? I'm hearing $2 billion. Is it true to say we earned $2 billion in foreign reserve, or we bought $2 billion in foreign reserve? Because I mean, it's already like said we have $2 billion in foreign reserve, but how much of that we earn? We're not paying our debts. When would this come into effect? And when will we be able to pay our debts? And pretend I have before what was going on. I recognize that the school meeting center at Six Roads, nothing had been done with that. And I think that's one of the critical things in the school meeting center. That we should have that even in a hurricane time, that we could provide means if there's a crisis and Barbados. Also, I do recognize we're not hearing that from housing as far as I understand. We had a meeting. They had a meeting with the small contractors to build this, but nothing has come out of that yet. And if you recognize, you're not hearing nothing at all from housing. As far as they concern, is that there's two ministers, but nothing seems to be working. I understand that one is sick right now, and I don't know how long he will be all sick. But we should be more transparent in that in government. But the government was saying when they come to fall, that they was not going to tax the country out of this problem. But so we are seeing taxes every day. We are seeing the civil servants rub out their salary. And this is not fair for society. Every arguing about $2 billion in foreign reserve. We should have money to create and all this stuff at the hands of this government. And you are saying within 2 years, going to 2 years and a half, that you're seeing a lot of positive things. I will let you also to mention the negative things that is happening, story starts and everything that's going on about this country. Okay?
Well, sir, ultimately you're on the program now, and if you feel that there are negative things to be mentioned, then that is your role to mention the negative things. My comment was generally a positive comment because I believe that when I compare myself to May of 2018, that we are in a far better place now in Barbados. Do you think that we are not in a better place in Barbados?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think that we're bragging with $2 billion in foreign reserve, and we're not paying the debt. We can't be in a better place. We are going with 13 buses into Barbados. 11 story struck. What is that we can brag about? What is that happening in Barbados?
Huh? No, we don't have sewage flowing in the streets.
But is that something about which you're happy? That's the only one thing, and the problem has not been solved.
You just said that the issue is really only two things, that was buses and trucks. So I'm saying you have buses, you have trucks, you also have no sewage flowing in the streets. So that's three things. You also have more judges.
That is three. You have integrity, right.
Well, that's four, because the judges is four, and then you have integrity legislation, that's five, right? So you realize that the numbers are building in terms of the things that you have that you didn't have before. And in the case of the sewage, the things that you don't have that you had before, that you're happy not to have any longer.
So we bragging about judges? The bylaw has been cleared yet? When will the bylaw get in court clear and judiciary system clear?
Sir, the judges just came, so my assumption is that the judges are working on the bylaw.
Yeah, but it's not that a case of looking for jobs for your friend.
I think that statement is a particularly unfortunate one. You think that the appointments in terms of judges is job for friends? I think that's an unfortunate statement you're making.
Everyone thinks so, but that is my opinion. And I am very concerned about it. And to be fair, you might not be open streets, but I can tell you, this government, 2 years, 2 months as a government, and it's the most unpopular government within 2.5 years. Very unpopular. You ain't gonna admit that, but that's the fact.
So he says, is he the most unpopular government that they ever had?
From my recollection, I think it is.
Whoa.
And two and a half.
You think that this government is more unpopular than the DLP government in May of 2018?
My government of 2018 was government from 2008, though.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. I don't know anything else you wanted to say, because you are wanting to highlight the negatives, so I would want you to speak as freely as you want to in that regard, notwithstanding the fact that I fundamentally disagree with pretty much everything you said. I don't think that this government has been perfect. I know that there have been some challenges, which I've spoken to on more than one occasion, but I think the suggestion that they have done nothing, or indeed, they have only done two things, which is buses and garbage trucks.
I'm not saying direct that, but what I'm saying is that you should mix the good and the bad together. So I just saying that government's all this good. Talk about the negatives that's being patrolled about these places. Don't just start with what you think and what you like, because you may recognize that all the journalists getting fixed in government, and you might be hoping that you hold on.
It would get fixed. Get fixed with what, sir? Why get fixed with?
Huh?
Why get fixed with?
Mr. Vickers, why you don't be fear on the national TV radio? Though?
Why you don't be on the radio?
Your comments don't be fear.
All right, well. Sir, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I must tell you that I am convinced that what he said earlier was a fair assessment of what I'm seeing on the ground. Contrary to what you may think, I am on the ground, and I do move around, and I speak to Barbadians, and they speak to me. And I can't say that I think that you are on the right track, but I appreciate that you nonetheless have the right to express a view. You may think I am biased because you feel that I should say negatives as well as positives. I feel that right now, when I look at the situation compared to where we were when we started in 2018, I think that Barbados is in a far better place. I think that we are far better governed. I think that we have made progress in relation to the key issues that were on the table at the time. And I think that for a government to get to this stage within 2 years of being in office is remarkable. And I honestly can't say it any better than that. But if you think differently, then fine. So as I said, you needed to provide evidence to the contrary. All right, sir. The other thing is that I honestly don't know what the national reserves are, the foreign reserves. So you were talking about 200 million. I'm not really sure where that figure came from. Statsman is usually the person in that regard, but that's not my forte, unfortunately. So I don't have any details on that. Okay, sir, thanks a lot for calling, and hopefully we'll chat again soon. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The reason I'm calling is I would like to find out if the credit union, this is the Barbados Workers Union, could let members know if their lines are working. Because I've been trying to reach there since this morning, and all I'm getting is, I would have to assume now, is a voice prompt. It says, good afternoon. Well, good morning. I just called. It said, good afternoon. And before I could even say what I would like to do, I'm being told, please hold. And I'm holding for like 5-7 minutes. And I don't think that is good customer service. I can't get to the credit union right now where I'm at. And I would really like to know if it is that their systems are not working in terms of persons being able to call in. And so if there's an alternative number that they could give members that we could reach someone live instead of this voice. I would have to assume it is a voice prompt and not someone handling the PBX line.
When you try the voice prompt, what do you get, ma'am?
I get good afternoon. Well, not too long ago, I got good afternoon. Please hold. And then this message comes on saying that the a message from the manager asking persons who would have signed up with the credit union prior to 2017 to bring in any information that they have in relation to, like, to update their system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Well, ma'am, I don't know. I'm hoping that someone would have heard you and would be in a position to update that information and let you know. Maybe if they respond to us, we can tell them. We can tell you. But unfortunately, I have no information on that. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Dear Mr. Wickham, please explain to the caller at 1:30 that as long as there is COVID-19 in the world, Barbados can never be COVID-free. You need to explain about asymptomatic and also false negatives. I think the gentleman is basically talking about the fact that a person can not show any symptoms, but nonetheless be infectious and be spreading that infection, and that really is a challenge. That we may have people who are walking around perfectly healthy, have none of the obvious manifestations of COVID, but still be spreading the disease. And unfortunately, the persons to whom they spread it may not be as fortunate as they are to remain asymptomatic for a long time. False negatives, you can have a test that's negative and you can actually still be positive. That's a challenge that they've been having. So the point is that once we are having people in Barbados coming and going, there's always a possibility. The point is that we can't afford not to have people in Barbados coming and going. That is the long and short of it. Then another person is saying to me, I agree with the SARS statements. He said the message came from Cabinet. In other words, he's given a mandate. They can come in, however, I agree with him. We need to stop messing around and get through and get tough and serious. I'm hearing Auntie America saying that COVID is only affecting old people because it's not true. Many young people are dead from COVID now. Our latest COVID victim is a 10-year-old. True, he came in from the UK. Also heard saying that Barbados is COVID-free before the airport opened. He's right, did not believe that Barbados was ever COVID-free, just because no one presented themselves with COVID. Everyone was not tested, and we cannot categorically say that Barbados is COVID-free. Grenada was COVID-free until three people who were repatriated to Trinidad and Tobago tested COVID-positive. We'll be COVID-free when the world is COVID-free. That's rather a strong statement for a gentleman to make. And we have another call, so I'll skip this message because we're on 55 minutes past the hour of one. Let's see if we can get the last call. Good afternoon. Welcome. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. I'm calling from Bosco Bay, St. Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, listen, we here in Bosco Bay, St. Peter, we ain't got no water coming from the tap. The community tank needs filling. It ain't filled no sense thunder. No person ain't coming out and telling us what's going on with the water problems. Right? And if we does get water coming from our pipe, you can't use it. The water's so dirty. You can't do nothing with it. And if you call in now to get a community tank full up, you got to be waiting for hours before you could get an answer. No one ain't coming out and telling me what's the problem going on in Boscobel with this water problem. And I mean, it's rare hard. If you go to bring water from someplace else, you got to put gas in your vehicle to go and catch water. You got to have money to go and buy bottled water. And I mean, it's real unfair and hard. Don't hear Boscobel, nobody ain't telling me what's going on. No,
but
that's
if you have a vehicle.
At all. Superintendent, so when you call, you can't even speak to a superintendent at Water Authority, but you're still getting a water bill for high money. We ain't getting the water, but we're paying for dirty water. And that ain't good enough. And nobody ain't coming out telling me where's the problem that we ain't having no water. We ain't getting it from the tank. We ain't getting it from the community tank, nor we ain't getting it from the VTAP neither. So it looked like we're paying for water and we're begging for it too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ma'am, how long have you been having this problem?
Listen, this problem is going on in Bosco Bay for years. And when you call Barbados Water Authority, you'll be hearing, it offline, this thing off. A base out of rubbish, you just hear. You ain't want to hear that. You ain't getting a positive answer.
Your problems are throughout the year or only during the dry season?
Man, don't be don't drawing a dry season so all the time for years now. This problem they going on for years now. Here,
is it intermittent or is consistent?
Yeah, the answer yet.
So it's years, or you consistently have not had water for several years, or do you get it intermittently?
Not yes, we just get it not all the time, but when it go off for a long time and it don't come back on. If it does come back on, you can't use it, you can't wash, you can't do nothing with it. And you're not running that water all the time, no gonna send out the meter.
Yeah. Well, ma'am, you know, there are several people in Barbados that are having some challenges. It appears as though Bosco Bell now has to be added to the list of people in St. Andrew and St. John and some areas in St. Lucie that are having water issues regarding the availability of water for that Scotland district area. I wasn't aware that Bosco Bell was also suffering, but it's good that you've now indicated that Bosco Bell is having similar problems. I know the Water Authority monitors the program and they're listening. And I'm hoping that in terms of this new water management plan, the government has come up with Bosco Bell will also be one of the beneficiaries. Mom, I suspect that it will not happen immediately. So you will still need in the short term to hope that we can have greater levels of efficiency from the Water Authority regarding delivering water to you in a timely manner, filling up the community tanks, and also doing regular runs to your house in situations where they are out of water. Your calling the program and speaking about it helps, because that's the only way that they can know what is going on. And ma'am, I feel your pain. I understand the frustration, because it is not a pleasant thing to wake up and not have water to do all the things that you need to do. So I can't apologize on their behalf, but I can tell you that I'm hoping that ventilating the problem helps to make the situation better. Well, the music tells me that there is time to go. We've come to the end of the first virtual program that I've done. I was happy to have been able to do it. I hope that the recording was of a similar quality to what we always have. It was great to have been with you for the last few hours. Also, a special thanks to Mr. John Stout for his technical expertise in ensuring that we were able to handle the virtual and the physical elements of the communication without any difficulty whatsoever. David Johnson was also pretty critical in getting it set up. We want to thank David for his participation and the technical aspects of this afternoon's program. My name is Peter Wakeham, and I look forward to being with you again in the not-too-distant future on another program of Down to Brass Tacks. Until then, do take care.